help us to commence by singing hymn number 1005. Come, let us join our cheerful songs with angels round the throne. 10,000,000 are their tongues, but all their joys are one. Hymn 1005.
Thank you. From the Holy Word of God, let us read in Paul's Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 6. Paul's Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 6. Galatians 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfil the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Most blessed and merciful God, the I am that I am, we bow before thy great and glorious majesty and would say, hallowed be thy name. And pray indeed, thy kingdom come. Oh, we do pray, could it please thee that thy kingdom may be set up more fully in our hearts. Come and save us and claim us as thy portion, and let us lay claim to thee. Bless us with repentance and precious faith and godly fear and love, all everlasting love. Oh, that we might know the beginnings here below of love in return. We can only know a little, minuscule compared with thy ocean fullness. But Lord, thy love does touch hearts and it does bring forth fruit. We pray for this. We have to bow before thee as earthen vessels, sinners in thy sight, poor and needy, wretched and undone, easy to say, but as the poet says, oh, to feel, cuts deep beyond expression. Oh, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, even here this day, and build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Oh, touch many hearts. Oh, bring us, Lord, to thy dear feet. Ah, that blessed place. With a contrite spirit and a humble hope in the riches of thy virtue. And great grace to sinners, thy love. Oh, may we sweetly be favoured to realise something of the efficacy of thy shed blood at Calvary, or that we might have a sacred hope in thee and know its effect, its sanctifying, its humbling, or yet its a sweet effect, its liberating effect, delivering us from all legal darkness and mere form and self-righteousness and worldly mindedness. Oh, in us and about us is everything that is evil. We're ruined. Ah, and everything here is dying and condemned, under a curse, but we do look to thee, who art that glorious Son of Righteousness, and pray that thou would arise upon us with healing in thy wings to show us that indeed our sins, which are so many, are all forgiven. That though indeed we're under a curse, thou was made a curse for us. And that, Lord, our sins have been put away. And that we're among the sons of God. Oh, bless us then, we pray, then as all the heartache and the soul trouble and the desperate need among us, the secret exercises, all the cries that go up out of a sincere heart, all those who long to know thee and win thee, all those in trouble, all those in distress, those overwhelmed in some fiery trial, sent to try them, and may they perceive it is not a strange thing. Oh, but indeed, it may indeed yield those peaceful fruits of righteousness in due time. They might wait patiently upon thee and see thy good hand and know thy gracious blessing in their soul and that deliverance for them. Command deliverances for Jacob, we pray. And those who may have heavy guilt upon them and in distress, or some fresh contracted sin or past offences troubling them, and having a sense of the infinite holiness of God, or the realization of how vile and polluted they are, relieve their soul, Lord, with blessing, or relieve them with forgiveness. Oh, bless sinners, Lord. And as said in verse, and how we each feel our need of this, who are exercised among us. Ah, even though we have tasted the Lord is gracious, have to keep pleading it for ourselves. For sinners, Lord, thou camest to bleed, and I am a sinner, vile indeed. Lord, I believe, thy grace is free. Oh, magnify that grace in me. May there be a magnifying of thy grace. Oh, thy great grace. Oh, Lord, everlasting grace. Oh, do come where we are and pour in the oil and the wine of the kingdom of the gospel, we pray. The gospel of the kingdom of God, we pray. Oh, therefore we do pray that thou would heal us of every woe. We need it, not just on today, but we shall need it tomorrow. Ah, we need those fresh supplies, those further helps. Lord, we do need thee to command deliverances in the unknown way. Oh, to go before us, Lord, to make the crooked things straight, Lord, and the rough places plain. Oh, need thee to be our defence. Oh, defend us from all that's about us, from Satan's fiery darts, from that tempting adversary, more powerful than we are. Oh, we pray to be delivered from our own self-righteousness. Oh, we need an inward defence as well as an outward defence. Oh, we need thee, Lord, to be formed in our hearts, the hope of glory. Please uphold us with thy gracious hand as we journey. Oh, we've many, many crooked things, many things that indeed look like and are in reality to us mountains. Oh, those things that are impossible, those things that threaten as a flood, Lord, to sweep us away and to destroy us, to overwhelm us. Ah, we do pray that we might be truly blessed with that wrestling prayer, which alone can wonders do, and to truly call upon thy precious, all-prevailing name. Oh, to value thy name as we live here. Oh, to really have some little realization of thy infinite worth and value. Jesus, thou blessed one. Oh, God with us. Oh, may we live upon thee daily. Draw near to commune and tell thee all our secrets and pour out our hearts before thee. Is anything too hard for thee? We prove it too hard for us. Bless this people, Lord. Oh, do grant them thy spirit. Dwell among them for good. Oh, we do pray that thy work may go on among them. Let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. May that be a cry from the church officers and the church members here and the secret disciples. And it might be the cry of parents and grandparents. It might be the cry of thy servants as they go forth and minister. And we want it personally as well. But really, that's most important, Lord. Oh, the apostle being so honest by the teaching and indwelling of the Holy Ghost said truly and properly and sincerely that he feared lest having preached Christ to others, himself should be a castaway. Lord, he knew what he was. When he would do good, he was present with him. The good he did not. Ah, the evil he would not, that he did. So he needed saving every day. And so do we each, Lord. Need thy daily keeping. Oh, thy daily preserving. Thy daily help, thy grace to be with our spirits, Lord, in all the changing scenes of life. We have a nature, Lord, that goes immediately, often in its first thought, to the flesh. We're fools. Oh, how we pray that we may have that abundance of life in every evil tidings that reach our ears to look to Christ. But we're not like that by nature. So we have to fight and look to Christ. Oh, to cast all our care It's a fighting exercise, Lord, to cast all our care, not to listen to the liar from the pit, not to look at men and circumstances, look at our own frail, weak, guilty self, dying self, but to look to thee upon the mercy seat. Bless this people then, and add unto them such as shall be saved. Bless office bearers, give them wisdom, godly fear, a single eye to thy glory. May they walk in the tender fear of God and in love to the brethren, examples to them, that holy love, to love one another. Ah, we pray it may be abound in this church and among this people. Bless them indeed, and add unto them then such as shall be saved, or what that mighty work of grace. Bless the generations, we pray. The middle generation, the older generation, the younger generation, the youth and the children, the dear little ones in arms, we pray for them. Bless them indeed. Keep them in from the evil of the world as they grow up. Oh, put thy tender fear in their heart. Oh, hear the prayers of parents and grandparents concerning those little ones. Ah, may they be thine. We pray it for our own families. Pray it for the dear flock and friends at home. Every precious soul there, young and old. Ah, may they be thine. Help thy dear servant engage there this day. Grant it us, saith the Lord. Help all thy labouring servants who stand upon the walls of Zion. Grant thus saith the Lord. O revive thy work. Return with power in the gospel ministry. We humbly pray. Oh, we do pray, Lord, take not the Holy Spirit from us. In the ministry and in our hearing, in our communion one with another. Oh, what a solemn day it is. Yet we believe there's not yet left Zion. And we believe this, Lord, from our heart. Oh, never leave thy people. Never. Oh, no, never. What a blessed truth that is, Lord. Oh, because there is love and everlasting love. And they're thine forever. And they shall see thy glory and see thy lovely face. Enter into their everlasting rest. And, oh, to crown thee, Lord of all. Amen. A little of it here below. Do us good then today, and we pray for our land and nation in confusion, Lord, and well, we've departed from the word of God. We have an evil prime minister indeed who, in her taking office, started promoting those things that are so contrary to godliness, to God, to Christ. She manifests a spirit of antichrist, Lord, in all her ministering. Yet we're told to pray for those in authority. Overturn the evil counsel. And oh, do raise up faithful men in high places, Lord, that in due time that shall do those things that are right. So all we can pray. We're told to pray for our rulers, move our taxes, obey the laws of the land. Providing, Lord, we're not told to obey thy laws. Oh, we do fear those days are coming when those who fear thy name will be compelled to walk contrary to the law of God, or to minister things to others contrary to the law of God. Help them to stand. Oh, what a solemn day we live in. Such complacency. Oh, Lord, such material prosperity is blinding, Lord. Blinding what is taking place in the world about us that lies in wickedness. But may we haste away. Oh, to be ready. Oh, to be prepared. Oh, to be safely gathered. Oh, to ripen for glory. Oh, to live to Christ and no more to self. Oh, to be ready to die. Oh, do grant us each that great favour. Now we look to thee upon the mercies, think of those that are alone, or in pain, or in distress, or sick, and poorly. We pray for them. God, be merciful to us now. Loose this stammerous tongue. Grant it thus, saith the Lord. May there be some profit. May there be, Lord, a word in season. Some crumbs from the master's table. We plead it, Lord. We plead it before thee. And now do pardon our many and our mighty sins. Ah, wash in thy precious blood and take our sins away. Our sins are great and they are, Lord. But don't surpass the power and the glory of thy grace. Oh, may the bliss of thy love and the riches of grace and thy forgiveness be known and made known unto us. We humbly pray as we plead thy all-prevailing name. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 215. Free grace to every heaven-born soul will be their constant theme. Long as eternal ages roll, they'll still adore the Lamb. Hymn 215.
in complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost. Ask your prayerful attention to the chapter we read in Paul's Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 6, and to verses 7 and 8. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I did have another word on my mind in the thoughts, meditations yesterday, but in the night this seemed to come with dropping with some power, and I feel directed to attempt to make a few remarks upon it. One thing is so very clear from these verses and from the whole Word of God, that God, is omniscient. He reads us through and through. He knows our true state, and the poet says, no thought can fly, nor thing can move unknown to him that sits above. Such a thought can be terrifying, and it is, if we know not Christ. But such a knowledge can also be a comfort, because he hears the groaning of the prisoner. He regards the prayer of the destitute, does not despise their prayer. I've been thankful for the omniscient eye of God. But also at times it terrified me. He is omnipresent everywhere. He watches and knows all about us in the night watches, in the daytime. But earthly seen, nothing is hid from him. Now, my friends, as we have a judgment before us, and there is a judgment to come, so we are sowing to reap in the judgment to come. Oh, what a mercy if we're found in verse 8, sowing to the Spirit. Sowing to the Spirit. But before we come to verse 8, we must consider truly and properly, solemnly, verse 7. And I must say, as we go into this, most definitely we all by nature sow to the flesh, every one of us. That's a solemn truth, a solemn thought, a very painful knowledge when realized. He that soweth to the flesh. Oh, do you tremble at your flesh? Oh, are you sorry for it? Oh, does it distress you at times? The true sense of this is those not living by faith. That's the true and proper sense. But of course we must observe that the humble, poor, the sanctified, that trust in God, realize, and only they realize, how much we sow to the flesh. And even when called by grace, there's still that fleshly nature that fleshly wisdom. There's still that relying on ourself, that still looking to ourself. But my friends, the great mercy is, where sin abounded, grace did therefore much more abound, and grace superabounds over the aboundings of sin and flesh. For indeed, where there's a heavenly call, a true sowing to the Spirit. But let us consider a few things concerning verse 7, and I must be plain and honest, mustn't I? Let's give an account of my own ministering and preaching before God, and how solemn, if in that day there are those sinking into despair, say, "He never warned me," and point the finger at me. How solemn is that thought? Oh, how, what a guilt is blood guiltiness. Setting others short when preaching Christ. Well, let me just say this then. The Lord give us each a tender conscience here this morning. Don't stifle a tender conscience that, my friends, gnaws in guiltiness. Don't turn away from it into generalities in religion. Say, "Well, I go to chapel and I do pray, and the Lord knows I don't really mean to be like this." No, I know it may be conscience will speak, but we want more than a religion that is affected by the conscience. We need to be led somewhere, guided, drawn. Sin must be put away, sin must be dealt with. If our sinnership is not dealt with and has not been dealt with in a precious Christ, we shall bear it ourselves. But the proper sense is those that are living to themselves and not living to God. Oh, they're happy and content with a Sunday religion or a chapel religion. They're happy and content, yes, to quieten their conscience in services and duties, but it goes no further. And yet the heart is firmly set on the world, a world that lies in wickedness. Now me thinks I hear a poor sinner say, "Yes, but that's my plague, Lord. I know thou art that blessed one. I know something of thy love, but oh, I still find this wicked heart is set on the world." But you see, if it brings you to repentance, such a knowledge, there's a sowing, a confession. You see, there's a sowing to the Spirit. You see, sowing, my friends, in naturally, of course, is a sowing of the seed, of the censure, of course, the sowing of by our deeds in our lives. And how solemn, my friends, it is. And we can't deny these things. There are those who are happy to go to church or chapel, and yet, yes, they never give their soul a proper thought, do they? Just a passing thought, "Well, how shall we be saved one day?" But no, my friends, yes, the Lord requires all the heart or nothing. All sowing to the flesh is a living a godless, careless, foolish life. And that life can be lived and covered up by Sunday. Or maybe a weekday appearance, yet when the day the heart's in the world and there's no brokenness, no repentance, no earnest cries for help, forgiveness or mercy. Oh, may the Holy Spirit work and blow upon those who are living carelessly here. Happy with the form of godliness. Do not merely immerse yourself in Christian duties, which is our duty after all, and think this quietens and calms. It doesn't. If the work of God is in your heart, you want to be washed. Mere socializing religion, my friends, can never satisfy a living soul. He sees many dangers in it. He goes to chapel for reality, a living soul does. He wants communion to his heart. Lord, to bless him and forgive him and relieve him and save him. And it's a sowing exercise, isn't it? Day by day, day by day. But just, I want to pass too quickly on from verse 7 just for a moment. You see, my friends, if we live sowing to the flesh, and there's no real sowing to the Spirit in our lives, what is the end? It's corruption. It means corruption to the soul too. And we think of corruption more in a bodily sense, but my friends, oh, the soul shall suffer in a lost eternity in torment. The body, my dear friends, shall be in utter shame and confusion, together with a soul in torment. How solemn is that thought? Remember, the ungodly shall rise. We're not told much about that. We are told concerning the godly that rise, like unto his glorious body shall their body be. But we have a hint in the scriptures, my friends, unto shame and contempt, unto corruption. Meaning, oh, they're so awful. Yes, beyond human description. Grotesque, if I may use such an expression, not in the scripture. Oh, how solemn will that be? Now, you see, may we be helped to examine ourselves. You're not before me, I'm only a preacher. A poor minister. What I can do is to minister the word to others with no power, no authority of my own, no power of my own. And it's the Lord that, whose prerogative it is to command the blessing. But I certainly need power in my preaching. I certainly must have credentials to preach the witness of the Spirit. There must be a certain authority and a certain due with a gospel minister. But nevertheless, you see, I'm not able to bless the word or satisfy a soul myself. But the Lord can. The Lord can. And if you've got the Spirit of God with you, that'll cheer your heart. The Lord can. And I believe as you're led in sowing in tears, you'll prove this. The Lord will. And ah, you'll come to this, the Lord has. And you'll go further. Yes, and I need him to do it again and again and again in my life. I need him to prepare me. Well, how solemn it is then I must pass on, oh, to reap corruption, reap death. Eternal woe, there's such a place as hell. Dear friends, younger folks, you'll either spend eternity, eternity, eternity with Christ in heaven, in glory, in bliss. Sing the lasting song. See him who made himself in a few little intimations and beginnings to hear as your husband and your friend, your God. Oh, my friends, you'll sink in absolute distress and terror and torment. I must speak this. The Lord have mercy, the Lord bless. But the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows them. Ah, he said to his father, all mine are thine and thine are mine. And it is his Father's will and Christ's will that all those whom his Father has given him shall be with him, where he is, they may behold his glory, that glory had with him before the foundation of the world, with his Father. Oh, my dear friends, let us come to verse 8. But as we come to it, I'm conscious of this, you know, the Lord's dear people, and it's in the word of God, isn't it? They have periods when they begin to sow to the flesh again. Solomon sowed to the flesh, didn't he? Brought idols in. We have idols in our lives, family, business, land, money, prosperity, status, all sorts of things are idols. They can be made idols in a moment by us. My friends, we begin to reap a few things in fatherly chastisement, don't we? In correction. Something I notice, not being critical, of course, because all the Lord's dear servants are dependent on the Holy Ghost. There was something in the ministry of years ago that we don't hear of much now. Chastening, correction, real humbling. Ah, my friends, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He correcteth, scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you be without chastening, that's humbling, teaching and correction, or feeling ashamed and having to confess afresh, only your backsliding, which are many, may not be outward, but backslidings of heart. Do your backsliding, your hardness of heart, your prayerlessness, your unprofitableness, does it bring grief to you, my friend? What a mercy it does, because you see, yes, how with yourself there's still this a tendency to flow so to the flesh, but by the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, you are grieved and you sow to the Spirit in repentance. So you see, the Lord does chasten his people. He does correct his people. You may not be able to tell another, but you may walk a certain path and a certain trial. And you say, ah, Lord, this brings my sins to remembrance. Ah, Lord, remember not against me former iniquities, Lord. You see, the atonement is in Christ. We have to repent of sins we know are pardoned, but are brought home to us, especially when they rise up fresh in our heart again. That old man of sin strives for the mastery. Satan is a destroyer. Therefore we find indeed as we journey on, oh, we need to be upon our watchtower continually and ask for gospel light and keeping grace. Preserve me in business, at work, with others. Maybe any tender or younger ones with a tender conscience, preserve me, yes, at college or at school. Keep me, O Lord, in the way. Lead me in the way everlasting. I believe is a sowing to the Spirit. A certain tenderness, a certain brokenness, a certain consciousness of the Lord keeping and preserving mercy. For him that was much with early days, 199, it says there, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it from thy courts above. Do you know I have to value that more now than before? It seemed sweet in early days, a profession. Had it at my baptism. Come thou fount of every blessing. But now I look back over my life with dismay. Oh, Lord, pardon mine iniquity, says a living soul, a humble believer, David, for it is great. And so we find as we journey on, you see, are our sins are so great. They're so continually, but are we grieved? How do we walk? We can walk in even a believer, and I'll speak very carefully upon this point. I had to not to bring confusion to in my remarks. A believer can be a true believer by the Holy Ghost. And he may know his sins are forgiven, be blessed to know it. And he journeys on and favoured and in various ways, and he settles down in his spiritual journey. things creep in and things creep in. And yes, it doesn't grieve him because he really falls back on whether my sins are forgiven. But eventually, you see, gradually there's a taking over of these things that preserved, and until we're suddenly brought to a stop. I've sinned against God. Do you understand what I mean, some of you? It may not be open things, but it's subtle things. And oh, are we grieved, my friends, at our sins against our living friend? I had a peculiar idea when I was a very little boy to think the saints that went to chapel, you see, that they were sinners and now they're all forgiven and they live holy, godly lives. I was only a very little boy then, and to think, well, why do they keep confessing their sins at the prayer meeting? What's the meaning of this? Well, I hope now I know something about it, to my own shame, and it's the Lord's goodness to me. You see, you're brought as your journey on to marvel at the Lord's goodness and mercy to you, but you're ashamed of yourself. And the Lord does lead us in our providences and in our souls' exercises, you see. We see in many things a certain chastening, a certain correction. Oh, God's ways are just, his counsel's wise. No darkness can prevent his eyes. Oh, but he's very gracious and very merciful and very tender. You can see even in a very powerful illustration from this, a great illustration from it, David. He sinned in the sin of adultery and stole another man's wife, but he killed her husband. And that provoked the Lord to bring a sword into his house. His own offspring were killed by the sword. David's sin was forgiven. And it may be in your lives, my friend, you see certain things. Ah, this is my sins, Lord. This is my sins. It may not be as evil as that, a mention of David, of course, and it may not be as severe in the chastening, but nevertheless, you see, the Lord, he shows us we're completely ruined, and after all these years of profession, we need much saving, much keeping, much preserving. Solomon's idolatry, the wisest natural, nicest man of the natural sons of men upon earth, brought in idols, unbelievable when you consider his prayer at the dedication of the temple. But you can well believe you know your heart, my friends. We know our hearts. We can see, yes. Keep me, preserve me, save me, O Lord. And the effect was the division of Israel. Often wondered where there's, I speak very tenderly and carefully, where there's divisions and strifes, and sometimes you can't avoid them, they come into your own life. You try and avoid them, but they do come. And it makes you, searches you out, Lord, save me in all this from a bad spirit. And you may wonder, why is this, Lord? Have we been sleepy and careless? Have we our secret sins and secret faults? We have. And God, as in his leading over us, he humbles to and pulls up to realise. But I must come more fully to verse 8. To verse 8. So I say, yes, all men sow to the flesh as they're from their mother's womb. A great mercy if Emmanuel visits you and draws you to his feet. Then you begin to sow to the Spirit. But we still have our sinnership, which is fleshly. And we are quite happy to sow a few little things to it. And little things become greater things. Unless preserved and brought back, you see. Unless our wandering feet are brought back, our wandering spirits are brought back, where would it end? But he's faithful that promised. You laid the promise in your soul, preserve you and keep you unto that day. But now I want to come to the sowing to the Spirit. This must be living by faith, sowing by faith. You see, my friends, this saying or this doing in our lives. You see, it's a 24-hour sowing, isn't it? I know when we're asleep, of course, but in the first thoughts of waking, sin can be there, can't it? Is there a cry set up, save me, O Lord? And so as we journey on, you see, yes, he sees all our works and all our ways. But oh, is there a real sowing to the Spirit? Lord, help me to open up this a little further. There must and will be repentance in our lives. Real repentance. It's not like when I was a lad, you just call out sorry, sorry to mum or dad when they were coming with a stick or something, trying to escape a punishment, weren't sorry for what we did, because next day we got up to it again, you see. It's not repentance, is it? No, in repentance, we know the author of that repentance. See, it's not a legal repentance under severities of the law. It's a repentance by the drawing love of Christ. And there's a godly sorrow. And you repent after a godly sorrow are safe. So exceedingly safe. You see, but this godly sorrow has an eye of faith and a desire for the glory of God. You weep at his goodness. And it's effectual. It turns you from your idolatries. And turns you from your fleshliness and carelessness and our slothfulness. And when we're settling down in a mere form. And begin to live on generalities, you see. You see this in the scripture. Oh, my dear friends, how Jacob's prayers were stirred up and, oh, David's prayers were stirred up by the things they had to pass through. They had to have reality in their lives. To have God's blessing. God's help. It wasn't merely providential, though it was indeed the whole of their life in the loving kindness of the providence. And it's like with you, that with you and I. Our life, if it's hid with Christ in God, he numbers the hairs of your head. He cares for you. He looks after you, watches over you. He's planned your life. He goes before you. But he wants your heart and he'll have it. If the Lord loves you from all eternity, he'll have our hearts, won't he? Oh, can you say, quote again from that hymn 199, here's my heart, Lord. Do you desire it? Take and seal it. Seal it from thy courts above. Oh, you want it sealed, don't you? The sealing love of Christ to your soul. Well, there is a daily repentance. And what is that? A pleading of Christ's pardoning love. A confession, an honest confession, yes, without any holding back of our sins. You see, when men first fell, our first parents, you see, Adam, or the woman, you see, blamed, Adam blamed the woman blamed the devil. But we can't do that in grace. Father, I've sinned and come short of thy glory. Because we have a nature that loves forbidden things. Now, I do hope that will give us each a tender conscience. Don't deny that. The Pharisees, wouldn't dare do such a thing, or hate things like that. Well, we should. We should hate it all. But let's be clear, you have a flesh and I have a flesh. And there are things that we cling to or cling to us in the sinful nature that we are. And we need much saving and we need a brokenness for it. A brokenness. But you see, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Yes, a broken and a contrite heart O God, thou art not despised. O Lord, give us a contrite spirit. Friends, not once in our life. No. Again and again and again. What a mercy there is a living friend, a living Saviour, a living High Priest, and a living Lamb. There's hope for these poor sinners because their Redeemer lives and is strong. His blood speaks there for you in all your comings, all your repentings, all your honest confessions. You'll not be consumed with the terrors you may feel sometimes. You'll be blessed. Oh, he delights in mercy. So may we confess our sins, my friends. Oh, David prayed to be delivered from secret faults. Also prayed to be preserved from the great transgression, presumptuous sin. Never go to God as a righteous person. Never go to God, my friend, as, oh, not too bad. Or not as bad as somebody else sitting in chapel. You can't go to God and say, well, I'm thankful I've not done that, Lord. Have to say, yes, Lord, I've sinned. And you realise so solemnly, if it was to mark iniquity, could you stand? No. And therefore David cried out of the depths. Psalm 130, Song of Degrees. Lord, if thou shouldst mark iniquity, O Lord, who could stand? But there's forgiveness with thee. Well, I believe in this sowing in tears, in this sowing to the Spirit, there is that true repentance and godly sorrow. It may sound strange, but I have to say, I often say, Lord, I do desire godly sorrow this day, and this day, and this day. But it doesn't end there as a Holy Ghost exercise, does it? Faith has an object. Faith uses a promise, a precious promise in Christ. You need relieving, consoling, washing, cleansing. If you've tasted it once, you now know as you journey on, as you live by faith. Oh, you need fresh supplies of grace to value that great sacrifice for sin and your Lamb in the midst of the throne, your Lamb, your Lord, your God. You see, Jesus isn't just the Lamb of God, blessed be God, he is, but he's the very Lamb of believers. He lives for them as their Lamb in heaven. They complete him, his life, his death, his atoning sacrifice, the hope they have in him, because the Holy Ghost makes him to them their living Lamb. And therefore you bring him in your prayers. You bring the Lamb of God in your prayers. Yes, the Lamb that God has provided. Oh, the holy delight of John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. And this sowing to the Spirit, there's a drawing near by faith. By faith. And there's a free confession and true, genuine, godly sorrow, which is precious in the sight of God. It's the fruit of the travel of Christ, is repentance and godly sorrow. Not the fruit of your efforts. Or your graces, nay. It's the fruit of the love of God by his Spirit, leading you, reproving you, teaching you, and blessing you, and bringing you to the footstool of mercy, to your dear Saviour. See, well, I don't want to dwell too strong on these points. I can't seem to get on at the moment, but you see, we will always have, we have a sinnership, and if we are sowing to the Spirit, we'll always have a certain godly sorrow. And you're unhappy with yourself and you don't find it. You're hard. You don't like it. You're troubled. You call upon God. Don't leave me here, Lord. Don't leave me here. Oh, break my heart, Lord. Well, now I must pass on. You see, This sowing to the Spirit, my friends, is the very life of faith. And we know if we're so favoured with eyesight, natural eyesight, we know we've got life because we're seeing things as we live. And so, you see, faith has an eye, doesn't it? You see in all your distress, all your troubles and anxiety and soul-searchings, there's one who can pardon, one who can richly bless, one who can shed abroad his pardoning love, and one who lives to save sinners, one who has promised never send anyone away that comes to him. And who are they that come? The pure, beautiful doctrine, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And you see, where there's this coming, there's a sowing to the Spirit. And you know, my dear friends, in your heart and your conscience, whether you're a comer to Christ, whether you're sowing to the Spirit because you come as needy and poor, needing the Lord's blessing, needing, yes, that washing. Oh, daily let me repent of sin. Daily let me wash in Calvary's blood. Kent says, daily to feel thyself undone will make the haste to kiss the sun. Aren't there happy days in your life, you know, when you're tenderly exercised? How you go to the throne of grace and you weep over your sins and he's precious to your soul. You daily repent. You daily wash. You daily come in need of all his love and his covering. And how you're helped to trust and believe, and you have to sow in tears and reap in joy, his goodness passed before you in the way. Ah, you see, my friends, daily to feel thyself undone will be the haste to kiss the Son on thy knees for pardon sue and praise and love and bless him too. This is the happy lot of Israel. Happy art thou, Israel. Who's the people like unto thee? Saved by the Lord. Saved by the grace of God. So you come to your Saviour, who is your high priest. And he intercedes for all these comers, because I started quoting just now from John 6, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And I stopped there and asked the question, who are they? The elect. And here they are. And him that cometh to me will in no wise cast out. So we may safely and properly say, these poor comers in the word of God, confessing, mourning, yes, trusting, looking, poor in their exercises, feeling their poverty and their emptiness. They don't feel their own strength and their own righteousness and the strength of their own faith in natural religion. It's the strength of that faith in Christ. You believe in him, and so you come to him. It's a faith he gives you. It's not of your making or origin. It comes from him. You believe he's the blessed one, so you come. And so you say, Jesus, my soul's compelled to flee from all its wrath and curse to thee. So you see, there's therefore a coming to your heavenly friend. Now, he is the friend of sinners. He is the friend of sinners. Oh, my dear friends, they mocked him and said he sits with publicans and sinners. They sneered and scoffed. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Friends, they weren't sinners that got better before they came and dressed up in a nice form of Pharisaic righteousness like the Jews often did. They came in all their guilt and shame, and they were blessed. And he met them in the way, didn't he? Are there sinners here you can honestly say you believe the Lord has met you? And now you can look to no one else but Christ. and you want no one else but Christ to be with you and to bless you indeed. And you see, there's a coming then to him who intercedes, presents your case. And one, my dear friends, who is your husband? Your husband. He loves his people. You may feel out of joint today in your soul, but your salvation depends upon your feelings, because a godly person, and you read it from Genesis to Revelation, in their soul's exercise, in the experience of their soul, the feelings, their own judgment about themselves, have many ups and downs. But there's something you can trace out as a vein of gold from Genesis to Revelation: they know in whom they believe. So you have to come believing and knowing how wretched you are, but believing in him. Therefore, you want the portion for a beggar, want the portion of God to be given to you, a token to your soul, another divine touch. A cold intellectual faith will say, well, I know I'm all this sinnership and I know how bad I am, but I believe, so I don't need to worry too much. Oh, I've got such a firm faith, I don't need all these concerns and exercises and troubles and griefs. I just trust and that's it. Well, that's the faith of many, I fear. But faith wants love. Faith wants communion. The bride longs to know the lover, her bridegroom. The wife longs to know the love of her husband. She needs to lean on him and look to him and know his arms and his dominion and his care and his thought, his provision for her. I know it's upside down today, but you see, generally speaking, in the divine order, the man provides for the wife and cares for the wife, looks after the wife, loves the wife, cherishes his own body, doesn't he? And the wife, she cherishes her husband, loves her husband, and loves the dominion of her husband, because he's so kind and loving to her. Ah, it's a sad day in which we live when we look at the world about us, but not so in the Church of God. He loves his dear people. And they, by his tender love to them, they begin to love him. Therefore they come in sweet exercise, sowing in tears to reap in joy. And therefore they meet many trials and many distresses, and they have to sow in tears. They sow to the Spirit, they sow in tears. They plead God's mercy, the Lord's help. Oh, the grace of the Lord Jesus, the Lord to deliver, the Lord to heal, the Lord to spare, and the Lord to bless in the soul. I speak very tenderly sometimes in heavy providential trials. You have to say, thy will be done. It's not an easy thing to say, thy will be done. Easy in chapel when you're talking or sitting around a fireside in health and strength and everything going so nicely. But when the hand order's gone out against you, when things are serious, when your soul faces real distress and you're such a poor sinner as well, a wretched sinner, how can you say thy will be done? And I to Christ. Anyway, it can be said, there's a believing he's good, knowing your just deserts, you say, I know thou good. Lord, thy will be done. If I'm consumed, I'm consumed, but thy word encouraged me to plead still and to look to thee. And if Lord, this sorrow overwhelms me, and that I dread and fear is to come upon me, support me under it, Lord. Bless me indeed. I know a godly man years ago, he had twins, and the mother had severe hemorrhage at home, and just after the war. And the father had to go into a room, and the doctor said, well, now we've got to get her to hospital, but I think she'll die on the way. I want your permission to take her. And so he went to his, said, yes, I'll give permission. He went and prayed, Lord, if it's thy will to spare her, please spare her. But if not thy will, bless her and take her and bless me. It was very merciful. You see, we're brought to those places where we have to sink down upon the goodwill of him who dwelt in the bush, in whom we know, whom we believe, the Christ. Ever too wise to err, says the poet, too good to be unkind. He cannot be unjust. He cannot do evil. He's gathering his church out of deep tribulation. This day we've come out of great tribulation. And part of that great tribulation is this, my friends, they're sowing in tears, but they also reap in joy in the great tribulation. What I mean is you have deliverances. If you think of the deliverances you had, you think of them, my friend, the answers to prayer, the tender love of God, again and again and again, then you're searched out. Have I really lived to the glory of God after so much mercy? I don't believe a man can look back over his life and say, oh, I've done pretty well. I don't believe a godly man can and smile at his own profession and feel pleased with himself. We know we have sadly, solemnly, base, ungrateful hearts. And therefore we're brought again and again to cast our care, sowing in tears, sowing to the Spirit, sowing by faith in pleading what he has done, what he has finished. You see, friends, our sinnership often seems like a mountain or a great pillar and a big wall. You can't see around it at the top of it. You can't get underneath. You can't get around. Our so great, but the blood of Christ cleanses from all sin. The precious blood of Jesus. This is what the Lord's Prayer says. Plead, though they seem they're full of mountains of sin and mountains of guilt and, oh, the abyss of their sinnership, but the abyss of the love of Christ, and a true abyss can't be measured. Only the love of Christ is a real abyss. My friends, it's an everlasting love. It's everlasting merit. It's infinite, no measurement. Oh, your sinnership, my sinnership, wretched, wretched, wretched it is. My friends, it's finite. The love of God is infinite. If it wasn't, you couldn't be saved. Neither could I. So we're sowing to the Spirit, pleading Christ, all they plead and all that guilty sinners need. So you bring your life, your providence, your families, your loved ones. You have to sow to the Spirit with them. In your prayers, I mean. Subject to his goodwill. Oh, he's a gracious prince, but he is a prince. An earthly king, in the old sense of the kings, of course, we've a constitutional monarchy now, but, you know, when they were absolute monarchs, they did as they pleased. Some were very, very wicked and cruel, they were tyrants. Some were better. But I speak reverently. King Jesus is love. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's good. The Lord give us even a grain of living faith to believe it and bring your troubles and your trials and your sorrows to him. But the voice may say in your heart, but look, you've got these troubles. I know the Lord can help, but look at your sins. Confess your sins. Tell the Lord you don't deserve any favours. I don't deserve a blessing, Lord. Lord, there's no reason in me why thou shouldst hear my prayers. But the reason is for thy name's sake. Thy great name's sake. It's a prayer according to in submission to his divine will, do we not? But we may plead, he is of good will. Yes, it says in Deuteronomy, or the good will of him that dwelt in the bush. The good will of him that dwelt in the bush. And you see that good will to Israel and, yes, into the day of Christ, all through the scriptures. And I believe, my friends, some of you have proved he's of good will. And he's of good will and will be of good will. He was of good will yesterday, wasn't he? And the day before and since you were born. You can trace it out by faith. And he's good will to die. As spared, may we prove it sweetly. He's of goodwill tomorrow. Oh, is anything too hard, Lord, about the mountains tomorrow? The worries of tomorrow? The troubles of next week? And oh, and in all these things, you're besetting sinnership. Is he of goodwill? He is. Ah, my friends, we live to prove how good and gracious he is. The hymn, is it 512, is it? On Jehovah Jireh, or 513, can't remember which one it is. But it says, and in the mount it shall be seen how good and gracious he has been. I believe some of you can look back and say, yes, Lord, how good, how gracious. What a mercy to look back on a deathbed and say how good and gracious he has been. I've heard one or two godly folks say on their deathbed they'll have nothing altered now. Feeling the smile of God in their soul. Look over their life, all the deaths, distress that they've passed through. Lord, brought them safely through. Look back now, they want to die. Want to go home. Or maybe prove it ourselves. Yes, that fear of death should be removed in that day. And it can only be removed by one thing. The loves of Emmanuel shed abroad in your heart. A sense of interest in him. So we sow in to the Spirit in laying up prayers against that day. Committing our way, casting our care, confessing our sins, trusting in him, pleading with him, bring the word of God in our prayers. Lord, thy word says, yes, you see, I can't lay a claim on thy word on any merit of my own, any goodness of mine, but I lay claim to it in this way, Lord, and plead that, do it for thy name's sake, what thou hast said. That's the ground, what thou hast said. Faith, then on that ground, and that ground alone, and in the providential matters, if it be contrary to thy goodwill. And sometimes it can be in the spiritual matters. I knew a man who, in his day, under days of terrible conviction, knowing it when his own judgment committed the unpardonable sin. That was his own judgment, thankfully. And he had to say to the Lord, Lord, if thy word I should have to go to hell, be with those devils, but do let me worship thee from there. That man felt a distinct softening and a ray of hope on his own soul, you see. Well, you see, we have to pray, thy will be done. And he's so good. There may be a gripping, those with a gripping fear about certain things in your life and your future, even here this morning. Thy will be done, Lord. A bleeding Christ is all I can plead, Lord, thyself, thy word, thy promise. Oh, be merciful to me according to thy word. And I must close. Well, we have all by flesh from the womb sowed to the flesh. What a mercy if you're now a poor man, sowing to the Spirit, feeling the evil of the flesh inside you, but sowing to the Spirit, sowing a pleading, that precious, glorious, all-prevailing name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll reap life everlasting. A life, you see, is kindled in your life here. And that life brings fruit in this. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And you'll prove it in your dying day. You won't die in death. You'll live in it. And you'll go home to glory. The Lord grant it to us. It's a great matter, isn't it? A great matter. So may we be helped to sow to the Spirit about our dying day. And plead with him to make himself more precious and real to us. To live to his glory. Bring forth fruit to him. Oh, that he'd meet us in death for his great name's sake. Let us ask thee, Lord's blessing upon the word. Do bless thy own word, Lord. Help us each to sow to the Spirit, Lord, we beg. We own with confession and shame we've so much sown to our flesh, Lord. Oh, there's been so much of it over the years. But Lord, bless us still. May we sow to the Spirit. at thy dear feet. So blessed that was being true, that was being of the Holy Ghost, and pardon all that's been wrong. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £695, and on Tuesday evening for the Trinitarian Bible Society, £1,950, for both of which we would be truly thankful. God willing, Mr. Adrian Pickett will preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Burgess next Lord's Day. And God willing, we meet on Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock to humble ourselves before Almighty God in confession and supplication for ourselves, the churches, and the nation. Let us close with hymn 732. Indulgent God, how kind are all thy ways to me, whose dark benighted mind was enmity with thee. Yet now subdued by sovereign grace, my spirit longs for thy embrace. Hymn 732.
Thank you.
Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen.